Pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be your people, to even have resources that we can return back to you. We believe that all of that is sourced in you. The fact that we are here and we are breathing, you have given us that breath. You sustain us. And so, Father, for all those small things that we often don't think about, let us sit in that and to really source those things in you. And Father, as we come now, we thank you too for your word. We thank you that we have it. We thank you that we have your story recorded for us throughout history so that every Sunday morning we can go to that story and be informed by it, so that we can experience you through it, so that we can learn about the way you work throughout history, so that we can praise you for that work. And so, Father, this morning, may we understand your word in that way, as not just speaking to us as a people of Riverside, not just speaking to us as the Big C Church Universal, but that, Father, we believe that you have something to speak to us this morning, and that's why we're here. So, Father, may we be open to the movement of that Spirit, and may we interpret, may we understand your word by the guidance of your Spirit. In all this, we pray in your name. Amen. So over the last several weeks, what we've been doing is we have been taking several texts related to the idea of the resurrection and thinking about them in context of what it was that God has done through Jesus Christ in bringing him back from the dead. And so we are actually going to look at a praise psalm, which is Psalm 66 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 66. It'll be up on the screen. It's in the bulletin as well. And we're going to read the whole thing, which is verses 1 through 20. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Shout with joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you in an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let them tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Amen. So there's three main things that I want to talk about out of this psalm this morning. The first one comes in the very first verse when it says, "Shout with joy to God all the earth." Now, I don't know what your church experience was like or what the history of your church experience has been like, but I was raised in a church where shouting wasn't something we were encouraged to do during worship on Sunday morning.
Why not?
I don't know. There you go. We're going to talk about that, but I hope that Riverside is a place where we feel comfortable to live into and express emotions, particularly when we sing songs sometimes where we force you to get up. We don't force you. We don't make you do it. But the crowd kind of leads you into raising your hands and clapping. Sometimes we have hand motions that go along with the songs that we're singing. We hope that nearly every Sunday that we gather for worship, you have at least laughed, or other people around you laugh because they thought we did something that was kind of funny. But there's a life that is lived when we gather in community together. In the church that I grew up, I was told never to turn around and look behind me. I wasn't permitted in any way to laugh. And if we did, it was because we were laughing at something we ought not to be laughing at. And we got in trouble for what we were laughing at. And some of this was healthy. It gave me a healthy understanding of God, of the power of God, of the magnitude of God, of the reverence by which I approach a God who created me and I'm the creature. But the other side of that I think in many ways I was almost taught that in church that's where I suppress my emotions. That it's something where I come almost to God sterilely. Like I come to God without much movement, without much joy or jubilation, without much sadness or grief. And so you just find this even keel place. And yet when we read the Psalms, and Psalm 66 is a really good example of this, we're called to name the things that God has done throughout history and to come to God with the fullness of the motion that comes with the magnitude of the story that He has given us, the story that we're invited to live into. And so the psalmist begins Psalm 66 by saying, "Shout to the Lord, shout with joy to God." And so this first point is that God created our emotions. God has created us with emotions. God has created us with passions. And God has created us to orient those towards God, and that we were designed to experience the fullness of all that stuff inside of us. We were not designed to suppress it and to push it away, but to orient the way that God created us towards Him. That it is its natural place. And so we need more shouting sometimes in worship. We need more jubilation in the way that we experience God. The way that we remember His story and the things that have happened. And so we hope that on the average Sunday when you come to worship Riverside, that you're able to come into this space no matter what life has brought you, believing that you're invited to a great banquet. A feast by which all the people of God, we come together to remember the things that God has done. And so this is also why it's important that when guests come into our worship on Sunday morning, people that we don't recognize or perhaps people that we haven't met, we welcome them as if we're welcoming a guest into our home for the first time. That we go out of our way to let them know that what is happening here when we worship together is something where we're celebrating the good news of Jesus. And it often comes powerfully with joy. Our testimony, our praise, our shouts of joy give testimony to the reality that we believe that Jesus Christ came into the world with good news. No matter what our weeks may have brought us, we come to this place together to remember the story of God. So too often in our history as people, we have created this false dualism between emotions and our minds and our thinking and our logic. Many of us, particularly in an academic town, we tend to put intellectualism and things of the mind and thoughts way up here, and emotions is something down here that are to be feared, to be pushed away. And so it creates a pretty simple, suppressed, even-keel self. And Dana reminds me of this in my own life. I tend to be that way. And so my temptation, and I think that we often can fall one way or the other. Some of us fall more into the emotional side where we have a difficult time with thinking through the intellectual rigor and to studying God's Word and really understanding it. And others of us fall way too far on that side where we have a hard time living in to the emotions, the passions that God has given us. And so there was never intended to be this dualism where there are two warring things fighting against each other. But the way God created us with each of that, He gave us a mind, He gave us a brain, and He gave us our passions, and He gave us our emotions, and He desires for them to be integrated with one another and oriented towards Him. And so in Psalm 66, I think we find this. We find the integration between the passions and the praise that comes out of the psalmist, but rooted in the story of God, rooted in remembering and thinking about the things that God has done throughout history. And so the reality is not that none of us or some of us aren't emotional. We all have emotions. We all have feelings. Often the question is, are we aware of those feelings? Do we allow ourselves to dwell? How am I really feeling this morning sitting in this chair? I mean, you can ask it another way as you think about Psalm 66. When's the last time you really shouted? I don't know, when I think about me, I shout at the kids. If they're not listening to me, I yell at them to listen to me and to do what I want them to do. I certainly shout at the dog because the dog's yappy and barks and I can't get the dog to stop barking. Dana laughs at that. I shout at sporting events, right? If you're a sports fan, you know that you get into a game on the television or you go into a large crowd and all of a sudden, for those of us that don't think we're emotional, all of a sudden there's something in us in the passions that we start to yell and to scream. We got to get excited. I mean, for me, I grew up on a horse farm with horse races. And so when I'm watching one of our horses race, all of a sudden I'm yelling for that horse and cheering for that horse on. When's the last time you shouted? When there are things that we really care about, when there are things that our heartbeat is connected to, we find that our passions come alive. I guarantee you, if you have people in your life that say, well, I'm not very emotional, or I'm very even keel, that you can find an issue, you can find something in their life that if you begin to talk about that, particularly if you talk about something they love negatively, all of a sudden they're a really emotional person. And so God created those emotions, and He intends for them to be oriented to Him as well. And then when we say we worship a God who created us, and when we name the story, the ways that God has worked throughout history, that leavens, it brings out passions in us. It excites us. It drives us towards God. The psalmist says, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. So the second part, so if the first one is that we have emotions, God created us that way, and He desires for them to be oriented towards Him. The second one is that our stories, the way that we understand the story that we're participating in, helps us orient those emotions and that praise and that joy to God. So what do you feel? The story that we tell ourselves impacts the emotions that we often feel. The story that we live affects how we feel. Depending on the story we tell ourselves, two different people can experience the exact same thing radically different. Think about going to a party where there'll be lots of people at that party. If you do not feel loved, if you do not feel like you are connected to other people, then you will walk into that party and you will likely look for examples that reinforce that way that you already feel. Well, that person's not talking to me. No one knows me. No one is talking to me. And it reinforces the feelings that we already have, that we are not wanted, that we're not desired, that we're not loved. While someone else who knows no one else at that party that is in the exact same situation, who might have a healthier understanding, that might be going into that context, feeling good about themselves, feeling loved, might not know anybody, but may go up and say hello to someone, or may not be looking for examples of how they're not loved, will be looking for ways that they can enjoy the company. And so see, the story that we tell ourselves affects often the way we feel. Even that example of that guy that we've been watching in the news that had the mass shooting in California. He had told himself a story about the way that he fit into the world. If you remember, if you've seen any of his testimony, that he felt like no matter how much he wanted to date, no matter how much he wanted to be with women, he felt like no woman actually cared, no woman actually loved him, no woman ever actually wanted to be with him. And so he wanted to take vengeance out on the world, to pay them back. The story that he told himself was that he was unlovable, that there was something wrong with him. And so his answer to those feelings then was to make other people feel awful as well. And so he gets a whole bunch of guns and he goes and shoots people. The story that we tell ourselves affects the way that we feel. It affects our emotions. And so the psalmist is saying that. Why is the psalmist able to praise and shout to the Lord? Because he says, how awesome are your deeds. He's dwelling. He's remembering the things that God has done. In 6, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. The Israelites had a way that they walked into the world and they remembered all the things that God did. One of the formational stories in the life of the Israelites was the fact that they once were in captivity to Egypt, that they were slaves, and that their God rescued them from that captivity, from that slavery, set them free. Part of the sermon was what we did during communion. We entered into the story of God's work throughout history. For us as Christians, our formational story is that the God of the universe entered into our world in Jesus Christ and rescued us. And no matter what happens when we gather for worship on Sunday, we at least hear that story. We remember that story. We remember God's awesome deeds through Jesus Christ. And it prompts us, when we live in that, it prompts us to give praise and joy, to shout to the Lord with joy. We remember God's work in the world through these stories. You know, Memorial Day is another example of that. Memorial Day is about us remembering back in the history of our country, all the folks that have sacrificed for us to be where we're at today. When we gather for worship, it's the same but rooted in Christ Jesus and God's story. We gather to remember. The other thing, the third thing we find in this psalm is that it is both individual and communal. Notice what the psalmist does, and there's actually a perfect parallel. Verses 1 through 12 are primary communal. They're about all that God has done for the people of God. Verses 13 to 20 are more individual. So if you just look at verses 13 to 20 right away, you see I show up. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings. I will sacrifice fat animals. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. The beginning portions are our, we. How awesome are your deeds. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. And so two things happen in worship. There's the communal that we share together. That's why we have our open sharing time, right? We allow everyone to share so we get to hear the stories of other people, which encourages our faith. We know our own stories, and our own stories of God's work can also prompt us to praise. But it's not just about us and the individual. We gather to worship together because we need each other's stories to build our faith as well. So it's both individual and it's communal. The communal drives us, it reminds us. If I'm coming to worship on Sunday morning and I'm feeling down and I'm feeling frustrated and I look across and I see someone else, a brother and sister in Christ, that has had a way that God has shown up in their life this past week, that encourages me. I may not feel better, but it gives me hope. It reminds me that God is at work in this world, in our lives, amidst us. As kind of a way to help us understand the way that God shows up, instead of me just giving a summary to sum up our message, Dana actually has a story of something that happened to her this past week, and I want her to share that because it's a wonderful example of how God shows up in our life and how our stories can encourage each other in Christ.
A couple weeks ago, I was driving, and I came to the path over here, the walking path, and I saw that a bunch of kids had put drawings on the walking path. And as I was passing by my car, I thought, oh, that would be really cool sometime when I had some sidewalk chalk, and my kids, and we'd just go out and write, like, messages from Jesus on the sidewalks that people walk on, and, you know, people look at sidewalk chalk drawings, and maybe it would encourage somebody's day. So, on Friday, I took my kids to the park in the afternoon, and Miriam really had to go to the bathroom, so she ran back to the car, and as I was walking back to the car, I saw a piece of sidewalk chalk, and I was like, ooh, Miriam's really got to go to the bathroom. Should I write a message really quick? And I was like, okay, I'll write a message really quick. So I wrote down a couple little messages on the sidewalk at the park, and I went home. And we had a good afternoon, and then Dan came home. Well, I had a plan for the evening. I had a specific dinner that I was going to make, and the kids needed to go to bed early because they hadn't taken naps. And Dan comes home, and he says the word park. And that means that everything else has been hijacked for the night. And I was so mad. I had not been that mad in a really long time. And my husband is being very kind to me, and a nastiness came out inside of me that has not come out in a really long time. And I started, at first I was just really angry, and I went to be by myself because I was really mad, and I was saying really awful things. And Dan was getting the kids packed because he was going to take them to the park, and I heard the garage door shut, so I went back downstairs. And they hadn't left yet. They were still there. And by this time, like, I had been crying, too. Well, now my kids see that I've been crying, and they start crying. And it spiraled into this awfulness. And so then they're crying that they don't want to go to the park because they're going to leave Mommy behind. And I was adamant that I wasn't going to go to the park because I was so mad at Dan. And their tears made me go back to the park. So we go to the park, and I am still furious with Dan, and I am refusing to make eye contact with him. And I was so mad, and I didn't know how to get out of it. And I was really mad at myself because this is who I used to be, and I'm a new person now, and I can't get over this, and I don't know what my problem is. And the kids are about to eat dinner, and I walk to go and get Teshete on the other side of the park. And there are four messages on the ground. And it says, smile, Jesus loves you, enjoy this day, experience joy. And I brought Dan over, and I said, Dan, you know how God's really funny? Come and look at these messages that are written in sidewalk chalk. And I said, you know whose handwriting that is? And he goes, Becky Wellner's? And I said, no. I said, that's my handwriting. I said, I wrote these messages to someone else earlier today. But I think God's funny like that because it's likely that the person I was writing that message to was myself. And I couldn't believe it. Like, it's kind of one of those moments where I feel like I've had a few moments in my life that are total stones of remembrance that I can say, I know that God was in that. And at that moment, as I was reading those messages that I had written to myself earlier in the day, I knew that God was in that. And that was so awesome.